Okay, Harry Truchidana, born 1932. The Year of the Monkey. This is the monkey year.
That's right.
True. And we think we're smarter than anybody else. You know, Harry Truman was a monkey. He fired a general. Right? He fired a general.
And look, this is a big year for you, too.
Well, so far, you know, it's kind of snowballing the whole thing.
Did this retrospective, boy, when somebody has a retrospective, right, they really got to think, I guess. Did it make you think anything different or new about your formative years?
Well, you know, when I was in Concord, I met this door man, I think I mentioned this to you, that helped me a lot. And he said, well, you got to go see this artist, you know, in Provincetown. So I did. And that kind of opened a lot of doors for me, that I could do that.
You
know, just decide, hey, I'm going to see that guy. You know, that kind of not taking so much the consequences going to be, you know,
feeling shy or scared and stuff,
yeah,
like how we would here.
Yeah, I said, hey, where I'm going to stay, where I'm going to, you know. Where? So, but everything turned out okay. And that's a good attitude to have. Mm-hmm. And I think of those days, too, when the Museum of Modern Art, but I was working there, and I tried for the John Hay Whitney Fellowship. And a friend of mine, a good friend, said, hey, you know, don't expect to win on the first try. You know, just put your name. I said, nope, I'm going to try for the win. So I changed some of the works. And then, and I quit my job. I quit my job. That's balls, right? And then I got it. I got the fellowship, and that's how we came home. And I was pregnant at the time, you know, on top of that.
Wait a minute. What was the fellowship?
John A. Whitney Fellowship, you know, the minority. It was for the minority. It was 2,500, you know, so I got the lump sum. You could spread it, you know, but I got the lump sum, and that's how we came home.
You wanted to come home then?
Yeah, well, Tadashi Sasso said,
You
gotta come home. Come by. We talk and think about you.
Hi, so good to see you. Bye. Yeah.
What a great time it is. Finally, these wonderful things are happening to both of you.
You both came back on that Whitney Fellowship.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But did you want to come back then?
Yeah, I want to come back. Yeah.
You did? You were ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, we saw a little bit up there. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
The timing was right.
I see. Did everybody else had already left?
No. Tadashi Sato came later, a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
You know, what was the flavor of being in New York that you folks, you know, were so drinking it all in when you were there?
Well, we always, we saw each other practically every day, you know, playing cards or drinking.
Yeah, New York was where everything in art was going on. And basically, I think, everything sold all the ones.
And working at the Museum of Modern Art, you know, when I was working at night, you know, I saw Eleanor Roosevelt open the door for her.
Mm.
That was an exciting time because they were all alive. All the artists were alive at that time.
Artists like who?
David Smith. And I saw him standing by the sculpture. Yeah.
But you know what? When the artists were getting together and stuff, Fi, did you get together with their wives also?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But most of them, only the guys, because we play card.
That's true. Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. And we played at our apartment because the wife will work. Well, she works too. But she can sleep the sound, you know. So they came and play a pinochle, you know.
Yeah. Pinochle?
Yeah, pinochle. You know, only three person, right? You know the photograph that you see in that catalog, Tracy?
Yeah, which one?
Right there. Right there. Right there. That was the apartment right here.
Oh, yeah. That's
and this is where they played the poker.
Look at how.
And he saw me door up. Apartment was one below. One below.
Where was this?
He saw me door.
No, but where was the apartment?
Oh, 109th Street.
109th and what?
Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Broadway. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
What floor?
Fourth floor. Fourth floor.
It's so funny.
It's a big intersection there.
Yeah.
But why did you folks want to go there?
I always felt New York was a big apple. You know, that's where the art is, the center. All the artists were there, you know.
What did it feel like for you guys?
Well, overwhelming, you know, for me, I joined the Marine Corps, so that's gave me the insight, you know, of people that I'm going to meet. But the feeling was great, you know. Oh, yeah. They all go art shows, you know. And then one time, I went to Tadashi Sato's house. It was September, I remember. And the daughter, Noreen, the school going to start, so I bought some tablet and pencil for her. And so I told Tadashi, I said, hey, I called him. She goes, I got to go because I'm going to a party. And he said, well, I got to go too. So we left. And we went to this place.
Same party.
He crashed a party. I said, how come you here? He said, no, the sign said the party's here.
He was at another gathering, and then all the noise was also.
Yeah, so this was more exciting party.
More exciting.
Yeah. So he came to the party. So we did.
Did it change you going there?
Oh, well, these guys were my big brother to me. You know, they were all what? I was 6 years older than Tadashi, 9 years old. They were all older. So, they treat me like a kid, you know, younger brother, right? So, yeah. But I used to drink with them and go to work at Museum of Modern Art. And I got drunk. And I was drunk on duty. But you see, they didn't fire me. They said, maybe this job is not good for you. So I became a mail person. How nice, yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah, that's really nice. Because the people from Hawaii worked there and they did a good job, they hired somebody from Hawaii.
It was so easy to get a job up there. Any office job, whatever it is, you know, because they had former Hawaii people working.
Yeah, how nice, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, for me too, you know, no experience in publishing or something, but I got a job there just, you know, going for the interview and
And coming back, was coming back hard?
Well, we got the fellowship, so we had the money.
You could get a start here, right?
But
that was a phase,
But when we came back here, I got a job, and then I got fired. And then Grant was born the next day. So I didn't depend on anybody. You know, I work all kind of different jobs.
Yeah. Like what?
Kamabuko factory. You know, kamabuko, cutting the end, cutting the other end.
I bet you were good at that.
Tupperware, and a food pantry at Waikiki. I was the exterminator, and what else? But you know, the mother said to me, "Harry, I didn't know you can do many things." You know, she could have said something to me, right? But I thank her before she died. I thought, that was really nice of you to say that, you know? So, but I didn't depend on anybody, you know? On top of that, Tadashi Sato used to come over, you know? So, a lot of people came to that apartment, Kapiolani, right across Halenanea, right? By Oasis.
Yeah,
right
the
there.
Big intersection, yeah.
It was an office.
Why? How did you feel about Harry's work? You know, you married him knowing he was an artist.
Yeah, but I knew of artists. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because my sister used to, you know, go with an artist.
He sent me to her.
Oh.
Yeah, he sent me to
her. So that's how come, yeah. Well, at least, you know, there was a connect over there, yeah. Because otherwise, I wouldn't know anyone.
I mean, it's kind of a different life, isn't it?
Well, not but well, I don't know. My mother didn't say too much. When I, yeah.
You know, when she used to teach over, and Sugar used to come into town. And when she come home, she said, hey, we're going to have a beer bus. You were here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You were here. And she said, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So all funny. Spontaneous thing.
Yeah.
Because of her, we had a lot of gathering because she didn't complain. Well, the other wife did complain, you know, but she didn't complain. I remember that she said to me, she come here because of her.
Oh.
Yeah, because she's, you know, she's all acceptable, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, over the years, have you always kind of understood what Harry was doing?
Well, I've been exposed to it, you know. So I guess it's not as if it was really foreign and, you know, just got into it. But in some ways, you know, I kind of had my foot into the art world. Yeah.
So you had some idea of what
so
it would
I,
be
yeah,
like.
Because I had a sister who, you know, who knew an artist family. So that was...
Did Harry come, you know, talk to you after a day in the studio and tell you what he'd been doing all day? Does he talk a lot about his work?
Not so much.
I was there. I did a good work. Yeah, I'm doing good work. And she said, so?
Are there some pieces that you really like of his and others that, you know?
Well, I guess, you know, they're all abstract, you know, so obviously, you know, I would be attracted to it, yeah. But I don't know, what would be an outstanding way?
Do you have favorites then?
Why?
Of his pieces?
Yes. Not in particular, though.
Not in particular, yeah. I mean, they all strike me as, you know, what he really is into, abstract. So I had no...
She comes here and lay down, she look at all the painting. Yeah, I like that. You know.
Uh-huh, yeah. No, I know. I really do. Because you're so familiar with the work, not in an intellectual way or a what critic kind of way, but you're so familiar with this work.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, works of others too, yeah.
Well, I mean, what is it like being the partner of an artist? What can you, do you have any suggestion for people who get mixed up with artists?
Well, I just... He's busy painting now. Don't bother him.
Let him go.
She pretty much, you know, accept what I'm doing.
Basically, it's just a natural reaction, yeah.
And she never talk about the bottom line. Never bottom line. You know, if you can sell or not. That never came up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
She's never talking about the bottom
line. Oh, no, because I've been exposed to artists, too, so I know, you know, what the expectation might be. So I don't...
And she made it so that I don't have to worry about that. You know, so we always... You don't have to sell it.
Yeah.
To, well, you know, so we always...
That's one thing, we didn't have to sell, you know, his works, and he still maintained his you know, routine painting. I mean, but never where we were in a situation where, you know, we've got to pay the rent, we've got to do this. Yeah.
So you made it possible for him to
Because I was teaching that time too, you know.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, when I retired, the retirement is really comfortable, so that part was a plus,
But today when Joyce was here, she says, you know, Harry, the time is right for you to sell work. you know, at the museum cafe. And maybe it is time, you know, rather than to hold on to it, you know. She was a rock, and now I have all the work accumulated. It's time to let go. So I'm in that position right now.
Harry, so tell me about the work. Nobody has focused on your stage series. They
right.
like the things before.
Right, right.
Talk to me about this, well, which is like the mid-20 years of your career.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Well, I always wanted to be a little different. well, you know, going back to the doorman, he taught me, you know, how to look at painting and the measurement with your eye. And you know that horizontal line there?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, this is eye level, right? Now, this is slightly over, so my view is on this side. And then you see the gray area more on the center, more slightly to the right. But you saw this way, this way, this way. In the course of our day, everyone, we look at things from an angle, you know. So it applies to every one of us, you know. Whereas Cézanne did the same thing by multiple perspectives, right? Looking this way, this way, this way. So that's the intrigue on this. I started in 1979. It still intrigued me. That's what I was doing today, you know, that vine. Try to take that right underneath. Yeah. I did this morning.
You started this in 79. And so, yes, it's had the same proportions, right?
Yeah. It took me a while to figure this one out. The early one is a little slightly higher. But this book is just right. It looks right, you know. And the intensity of this area and this color proportion to this as equal weight. Equal weight. This is just equal to the white area, you know. That's fascinated me too, you know.
So you'll go with another color? And that will, again, shift.
Yeah, it shifts. The mood change. The feeling change too. You know, if I were to do one, oh, that's there. That change. That blue change too. So I figure, well, I did a lot of breaking of the space, and yet I picked one area, you know, two areas to do this blue. So it's kind of different from this one here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, this blue and this green, what are they for you? What do you feel like when you put those on there?
It's exciting. It's a queer sensation, you know. And in proportion, you always have to think totally. You have to think.
Like this part over here.
Which are here?
Yeah.
Yeah, the wash.
The wash.
The wash. We were talking about the wash today.
That's... Like you need that.
That's right.
You need that to complete the work.
A quick little softness to it, rather than to do direct on the paper, you know, white. So it kind of...
And it's not as rigid as the others.
Yeah. You see how she put the input?
Yeah.
A lot of that shibui.
Mm.
So, yeah, it creates a different color again. Yeah.
I love it.
Imagine, I still feel excited about this thing after so many years.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, in a way, so it's about balance? Or it's about...
Balance, definitely. Mm. Yeah, and it's a kind of a musical to the eye, too. You know, when you look at that, as you said, it's kind of unique, right? No one have approached art this way. Yeah, so
you're 79 till about when? Are you still working on it?
Yeah, I'm still working on it. This is today. I worked on today. So what I do is, this was prepared yesterday. So after dinner, I come here and prepare. So when I get up next morning, I got to go finish this. You know, I look forward to getting up to finish this, what I did the day before. That's good psychological, right?
Mm.
Yeah. So, hey, I gotta get up. after coffee, I gotta, you know.
What has it been like to have this incredible gift of focus, being able to work?
I don't know. Maybe I wanted to make my mother proud of me. You know, the fact that she was a single mom who worked so hard. So that kind of drive me on. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I was very lucky to have a mother-in-law who was really nice to me. You
Not
know.
To mention the wife.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, she sold pants for me, you know, your mother. And shirt, you know. And she didn't do that for her son. Yeah, but she did it for me. And the father did that big one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Harry, that whole family helped you to do your painting.
You're right. Yeah.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
It was an investment, that's why, Harry.
Yeah. And you know the way he built it? I didn't know how well it was done, the paintball. You see, the paintball can obviously cannot go in the elevator, right? So the guy figured out, the guy that helped me, he took all the screw out from the side, screw up, came right off. Mm. The leg came right off.
Brilliant,
yeah. And just, so that part, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a brilliant idea.
Got up here.
Yeah. And it's on roller. It's on the roller.
That is so smart, Harry.
Yeah.
There's no better way.
No better way.
Have you found that it's important to work every day? Do you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It kind of grips me up, you know. If you put a paper in front of me, I can do it, you know, with no hesitation. Mm. So I'm on all the time. I'm on. So, and it's... I like working every day, you know. If I don't work every day, I feel kind of, you know, the day is not complete.
Mm.
Yeah, so. And like today you came, that makes excitement. Mm. And this show, too, that came along.
Are you looking at your work differently now, Harry?
Yeah, I do. You know, I get to appreciate a little more. Especially the old work that was in here. You know, I said, hey, we're not going to show this work like this one here, I said, gee, who's going to look at it? But he chose that one, you know, and he chose that one. So this time I pretty much let him do and get along what he's going to do rather than for me to bark him, you know. So it turned out okay, yeah.
You know, I feel these are much more individualistic, though, for you. So, really.
Yeah, I like this one. You know, if I'm going to have a show, I'm going to have this one, I said. But Jay Jensen went along with this one, so.
That's good.
Yeah. And not too many people have seen this work, so, yeah.
What do you think about abstraction? Why are you doing abstraction, Harry?
Well, you know, in words, like growing up, we said a cowboy and Indian. And the Indian said, white men talk with a forked tongue. That's abstract. Forked tongue. Hey. That's pretty. And I remember in the service, you know, when things go wrong, they say, shit hit the fan. Hey, that's pretty. That's really abstract as hell. So, the whole 9 yards, you know, you're not talking about the yard, you're talking about, you know, going for it, you know. So it's all, you know, abstract is kind of old. I mean, it's been there, you know. So, yeah.
And it
intrigued me because I can move things, you know. You know, once you play, you know, checkers, you know, you don't want, once you learn how to play chess, you don't want to play checkers because chess has more move, right? I have more move.